Today's shiur will be a hadama to the Malach of Borer. But if you haven't yet, go through very, very carefully. The Sukkim Shabbos have Ayin Dal Amud Aleph Borer and Shabbos. And here, just several lines of the Gemara, the Yadal Mabez and Mesechus Beit, so when it comes to Borer and Yantif itself. But simply in terms of introducing the Malach of Borer, we discussed in the past the Machlokas Rabbina Rabbi Shimon, Sari Gimel Beis and Mesechus Shabbos, the Machlokas regarding a Malach Hashinu Tzricha Legufa. Rabbi Yehuda says the Malach Hashinu Tzricha Legufa, Taikus Chayev Midaraisa, and Rabbi Shimon says that no, it is Potter Avalasim. The Gemara never really defines exactly Malach Hashinu Tzricha Legufa, but the Gemara does give us examples. That case on the Tzari Gimel Beis is Hotzas Ameis. You have a mace which is babayis, you're interested in removing it from the house, tuma, the decay, and that's an example of malach hashinu tzricha legufa. Another, the Mishnah we recite, Anel Shabbos, kichas al haner, a person goes in and extinguishes a flame in order for the purpose of conservation. He wants to preserve the oil, and therefore extinguishing in that fashion, that's a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Is there any common denominator between those two examples of Malach Hashinu Tzricha Legufa and what really is the Hagdara? So Rashi writes, and that's something incredible, Sari Gimel Beis, that you know what a Malach Hashinu Tzricha Legufa is, where the Malach really is not needed inherently for a constructive purpose, but rather Rashi's language is Eino El Salka Me'alav, the purpose of Malach is to remove, Virtson Olah Yabalo. It's something that you are not desirous of. Removal of that which is undesirable, that is considered to be a malach hashinu tzricha legufa. According to Rashi, the tour of malach hashinu tzricha legufa is clearly linked to the concept of a malaches tikkun, as opposed to malaches kilkul. In order to be chayiv on Shabbos, you require malaches macheves, what Rashi explains, you give mabez, in our Masechta, it has to be Malachis Umnas, it has to be done for a wholly constructive purpose. And this really is not for a constructive purpose per se, but rather it is a Malachis Siluk, literally, removal of that which is considered to be undesirable itself. And it's not surprising, not for us right now, but Rashi, in Shabbos and Daf Kuvav Amud Aleph, links the Machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon regarding Malachis Hashinu Tzricha Legufa with another machlokas Rabbi Shimon regarding the p'tur of mekalkel. You have to take a look at that Rashi carefully. Shabbos kufav amud aleph. But it sounds so reasonable because the chisaron of malach hashinu tzricha legufa is to an extent, it's not a malachas tikkun, but rather it's a malachas kilkul. So if Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon disagree about mekalkel, and Rabbi Shimon disagree about malach hashinu tzricha legufa, or Rashi says that's exactly the shita saying. Well, so Rashi writes the following. You know, normally speaking, when a person engages in a malacha hotza, I ask you, why are you doing so? Why are you transporting a chayfetz? You know what the typical answer is? It's not just a malacha seal, because you don't want the object here. When they engaged in hotza, it was simply to remove? Of course not. When you're transporting, you are interested that the object should be specifically there, not simply that it should be removed. If you're engaging in an act of hotza, which is just for the purpose of removal, a malach has siluk. So therefore, Rashi writes, that is considered to be a malach hashinu tzricha legufa. If a person goes there and now he wants to conserve energy, and he's extinguishing a flame, and I ask you, why are you doing so? You're not really doing so for a wholly constructive purpose, kibui, but rather you're doing so to preserve. If I let it just simply burn, it's going to further consume the oil, and I want to prevent that which is undesirable. I'm not desirous of the consumption of that oil. And therefore, I'm engaging in kibui, not for a constructive purpose that I plan to use the pchamim, that which is charred, the coals, but rather it's considered to be a malach hasiluk. Well, so that's what Rashi writes in Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis, and that is when something is v'solka me'alav, v'rtsono lo hayobalo, that is a malach hashinu tzricha legufa. When you do the sugya, no doubt that you have to go through all the other cases of Lashon HaTzricha Legufa and see, does this all fit into Rashi's Hagdara? And Tosus is very bothered by that. That's the Tosus in Daf Tzadidah and Aleph, through Maskor Rabbi Shimon, where Tosus writes that there are certain cases that don't quite seem to fit in this Hagdara. So what then is the definition of a malacha tzrichin and tzrich lagufa? Tosus quotes the Ri, something which is very different. And the Ri's definition gives us a lot of homework. When it comes to each and every one of the lamites malachos, you have to ask yourself the why question. The why question, not the what question, what was done in the Mishkan. You have to ask yourself the why question. Why was it done in the Mishkan? Every malacha, you have to ask yourself, why was that done? And if you do exactly that which was done in the Mishkan, but you do it for a different purpose, not for this reason, but for that reason, that is a malacha. Shino tzrich l'gufa. And therefore, it's not one convenient definition. It is in a broad sense. But every malacha, you have to ask yourself, why was this malacha done in the Mishkan itself? If you deviate from that purpose, that's considered to be a malacha shino tzrich l'gufa. So, for example, when it comes to mechaber, they would extinguish because they needed the pchamim. They needed those coals. And therefore, if you're doing it for any other purpose, that is a malacha shino tzrich l'gufa. When it comes to the case of Otsah, it's true. They needed the chefetz in that other area. And therefore, carrying it just because you want to remove it from the house, the reason it's a malacha shino tzrich l'gufa is because it is that which does not parallel the Mishkan. Well, so that's the machlokas between Rashi, and the Ri. And one could know without a division, significant difference. The Tosus and Shabbos on the very next Amud, and the Sadi Dalad Mabez, their Tosus is bothered by the following. In the Malach, of course, they engaged in Gozes, okay? Shearing. What would happen if you engage in Gozes and you don't need the Davran Igzas? You don't need the Davran Igzas. What's an example of that? The Mishnah discusses cutting nails, the Tila Siparayim. In the Mishnah quotes Machlokas, Rav Elazar and the Chum, we discussed this earlier in the year. If a person goes in and cuts a nail, but he doesn't use a kli, he, for example, bites his nail, or you know what, he rubs one nail against the other nail in order to go ahead and do, peel it off. Oh, so in such a case, that's a Machlokas, whether indeed that is kedarko or whether it's ashima. Okay, that's a Machlokas, Rav Elazar and the Chum. So the Gemara says one thing is clear. Let's say he would use a kli. The person uses a nail clipper. A nail clipper, a kli, divrei kol chayim. Everyone would use your chayim. The machlokas says when you don't use a kli, but netilas tipernayim be kli, in such a case, everyone agrees your chayim. Everyone agrees your chayim. Okay? Oh, Tosus is bothered. How can you say everybody agrees your chayim? That's not really true. Why was Gozes done in the Mishnah? You know what the answer is? By essence, by definition, when they would shear, they would need the Davar Nigzas. They would need that which is shorn. Why would you engage in Gozes if you don't need the Davar Nigzas? They needed the Davar Nigzas. Tosus says there's no way in the world when you're cutting nails that you need the nail. You need the nail that you're cutting. Absolutely not. So therefore, Tosus writes that Netilas Sipranayim is a classic example of a malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa. So how in the world can the Gemara say the kli Divrei al kol chayiv? No, not divrei al kol chayiv. That would be a chlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. And in fact, we pass like Rabbi Shimon. The malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa is pata, and therefore your pater in that case, that's a malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa. Well, so you know what Tosus writes? You're right. When the Gemara says divrei al kol chayiv, the Gemara is not divrei al kol. Everyone. Who's divrei al kol? We're talking about a limited machlokas. We're talking about a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, whether cutting a nail with your other nail, rubbing one nail, is kedarko, is that a shinui? So the Gemara makes a comment, but everyone agrees that if you do it with a kli, that's kedarko. Everyone doesn't mean every single sheet in the world. It means locally. We have a machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, regarding this method, but that method with a kli, everyone agrees that's considered to be kedarko. Are you chayiv if it's kedarko? Well, that depends. If you hold like Rabbi Shimon, it's still a malacha shenot tzrich l'gufa. If I'm like Rabbi Yehuda, you're going to be chayiv. But when the Gemara says divrei hakol chayiv, it means divrei hakol in context. In the context of this machlokas, Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, what is shinui? What is kedarko? Really, maybe the Gemara more precisely could have said divrei hakol kedarko. But the Gemara says divrei hakol chayiv. That's exactly what it means. Well, that's the Chiddush HaTosus. So what do you see according to Tosus Hashita? If a person's going to go ahead and cut a nail, and you don't need the nails, you know, even if you cut kedarko, but it's a malach hashenot tzrich l'gufa, and according to Rabbi Shimon, you're about to... According to Rabbi Shimon, your partner. Nemachinami, Karanios and Shabbos, he passed on Rabbi Shimon. That's only Nisud Rabbanan, that is a malacha, Shenot Tzricha Lagufa. Well, that's exactly Tosas Ashita. Tosas Ashita? How? You could disagree with Tosas. You could disagree with Tosas. But that's Tosas Ashita. No? Tosas that maintains when it comes to every malacha, you have to ask yourself the why question. Why was it done the Mishkan? Why was Gozeis done to utilize the Davar Nigzas? And if you're not going to utilize Davar Nigzas, how can that be Gozeis? So if you're getting a haircut and you're not going to use the hair which is cut, that's going to be Shinot Tzricha Lagufa. You're cutting nails, you're not going to use the nail, that's a malacha, Shinot Tzricha Lagufa. That's Tosas Lashitase of that Sadi Dalet Amud Aleph, where that's the definition of a malacha Shinot Tzricha Lagufa. Cool. Maybe one can disagree even using Tosas' definition. This is the Tshuvas Arivash in Simon Shin Sadi Dalet. I want you to take a look at the Ramban, the Chiddush Ramban on Daf Kuvav. You saw that already. Maybe yet, maybe no. Take a look. But in the Ha'aris on the Ramban, Rabbi Shazalman also, no? The Ha'aris on the Ramban. Rabbi Shazalman says, oh, take a look in the Tshuvas Arivash. Shin Sadi Dalet. You know what the Rivash writes? How can Tosfos say Gozeis of the Mishkan was only when you needed the Davar Nigzas? How can Tosfos say that? How can Tosfos say that? You know, in the Mishkan they had magnificent, elaborate, exquisite tchashim, the skins. You know, the skins were like manicured, you know, magnificently. No? How would that happen? How would that happen? You know what it is? You take the hides of the animal, and the animal has, of course, its normal growth. And you know what? You have to mamish exquisitely. My God, you have to cut it and shave it to make sure that it's perfectly, perfectly appropriate. Perfectly appropriate. Didn't they do that? What, they just took the tchashim and just used it? You have to manicure it properly, you know? You see the lahavdala, you see a putting green, huh? It just grew that way. It just grew that way. You know, that it had to be, you know, manicured exactly, no? That's what they did with the tchashim, the Rivash says. That was in the Mishkan. So how can Tosu say that, I understand, I'll use Tosu's definition, that it has to be a malacha tzrich lagufa, meaning for the same purpose as on the Mishkan. But Tosu assumes in the Mishkan, you need the Davar Nigzas. You need the Davar Nigzas. When they would go ahead and fine-tune the tchashim, they needed the Davar Nigzas. That little stubble that they would go ahead and shear, they would use? Of course not. So therefore, the Ravash writes that there's something missing. No, that how can you say, even if I'm going to accept Tosus' definition, that it has to be Dumi Demishkan, Mamish is Dumi Demishkan, shearing, and you don't need the Davar Nigzas. Ooh, that's the Ravash. How do you answer that? No, how do you, no, it didn't happen. How do you answer that? How do you answer that? Oops, I'll tell you a chiddush. There's a Tosus in Bechoros, and Daf Chavav Min Aleph, and this is L'shitas Seyla Tosus. Tosus there, take a look, the context is a little bit different. Bechoros Daf Chavav Min Aleph makes an incredible analogy. There's a malacha on Shabbos of Kotzeh. There is a malacha on Shabbos of Gozeis. Is there any commonality between Kotzer and Gozeis? Kotzer and Gozeis? How similar are they? So Tosus writes an amazing analogy. Tosus writes the following. Kotzer, you ready? Is to Gedulei Karka as Gozeis is to Balei Chayim. That's what Tosus writes. Kotzer and Gozeis are quite similar. Maybe one could have even had a hava minyan, they should be a single malacha. Kotzer, just the chetz is gedulei karka. And Gozeis, the chetz is balei chayim. Okay, the chiddush is since these were done absolutely separately in Mishkan, they're independent malachos. But you know, they certainly are correlated, they're certainly related. Kotzer is gedulei karka, as Gozeis is to balei chayim. Okay? And Posh of Shat answered the Kash of Rivash. And that Tosas and Bechoros and Achava. Wow, that's Tosas Shishit. If Kotzer and Gozeis really are, how would you define that malacha? How would you define that malacha? So you know what the answer is? Both Kotzer and Gozeis, you ready? Are Oker davar migdula. Oker davar migdula. Uprooting something from its source of growth. Uprooting something from the davar migdula. That's what kotzer is, no? You have something that is attached to the plant, the tree, the ground, and you sever it. That's otzer davar migdula. You have, that which is growing on the back of the animal, its hair, its fleet, and you go ahead and you sever it. And you stunt its growth. That's oker davar migdula. What's the difference in kotzer and gozes? Understand, now that kotzer is the gudle karka. Gozes is balei chayim. But the hagdara samalach is oker davar migdula. Oker davar migdula. How does that help us? Yeah, well, let's say you have a cluster of grapes sitting on the table. And I go to pick off a grape. So someone will say, kotzer. Kotzer, kotzer. But this is oker davar migdula, that's kotzer. If this grape was attached to the vine, and you pick off a grape, that's kotzer. It's already nixar. It's already nekar migdula. It's sitting there on your table. Really, to pick off the grape from its stem is kotzer? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If it's no longer mechubar, it is not kotzer. Obvious, no? You ready for this? According to Tosos. If it's no longer mechubar, it's not gozes. It's not gozes. Gozes means that the hair, the fleece is growing, 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 and you go ahead and you cut it. You cut oker davar migdula. How would you say this in other words? Gozes is only when you shear off of a behema chaya, an animal that's living. The animal is living, the hair is growing, and now you're oker davar migdula. That's true. When in the world would they do that in the Mishkan? They would go over to this animal and they would shear it. And they would shear the sheep. Only because they need the davar nigzas. They need the davar nigzas. Why would they shear the sheep if they didn't need the davar nigzas? No? Whoa. Okay, now you have the oros. And now, you know what? I want it to look magnificent. So now I have to fine tune. Now I have to go ahead and razor sharp. No, cut. Tos, the rivash, that's gozes. We don't need the davar. You know what Tosos would say? That's not gozes. That's oker davar migdula. That's like picking a grape off of its stem and sitting on your table. It's already nekar. And therefore, based on that analogy, Atosus and Bechoros and Nefchavav, that's exactly that. The only case of gozes yam the Mishkan is when an animal is walking around and you shear it. When in the world would they shear an animal that's alive if they didn't need the davar nigzas? You'll tell me there's another step after Havshata takes place. After you have the hide, and now you're cutting it down. That's not gozes. Not that that's gozes when you don't need the davar nigzas. That's not gozes. Therefore, Hanami, wow, that's exactly Tosfos Shoshita. No? Whoa. So that's an important chiddush. I'll throw a little bit of a wrench in this. No? Not for us right now, but there's a Tosfos in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Gimel, where Tosfos says, if your coat's there, and you don't need the davar nigzas. We just discussed this recently, no? Guess what? What did Tosfos say? That's not called kotzer. That's not called kotzer at all. If you're kotzer, you don't need the davar nigzas. And what does Tosfos say in Daf Tzedal Mabez? If you're gozes, you cut a nail, and you don't need the nail, you don't need the davar nigzas, that is a malach hashem tzirich lagufa. Wow, no? In other words, if you're kotz, you don't need the davar nigzar, that's not a malacha, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And gozes, if you don't need the davar nigzar, that's machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon. So that's fascinating, because that doesn't seem to be fully consistent with that Tosfos and Bechoros and Nachavav, that writes, whatever the hagdara samalach is, they're the same. It's just that one is gulei karka, one is balei chayim. There you get a very different impression from that Tosfos and Nachavav Gimel, where Tosfos says, Ktsir, we don't need the davar nigzar, it's not kotzer. And gozes, we don't need the davar nigzas, that's a malacha shenel tzirich lagufa. Wow. That's something to think about. This is Tosfos Hashit. What would you say about Rashi? The definition of a malacha shenel tzirich lagufa is you're removing something. And it's not a malechus tikkun. It's only a malach hasiluk. You know, when I go ahead and I extinguish the flame, I'm maintaining the status quo. I'm not improving anything at all. All I'm doing is preventing further consumption. Further consumption. No? Oh, so Rashi says that's not called malach hasiluk. What would you say about getting a haircut? What would you say about cutting nails? That's only a malach hasiluk. It's true, you're removing hair. Right? You're removing the growth of the nail, that's true. That's only a malach hasiluk. That's only a malach hasiluk. That's not a malach hasiluk. Why in the world? Of course it's a malach hasiluk. No? Everybody got their haircuts and like Bomer? You know, that all you're doing is there's no difference in appearance. It's not a malach hasiluk. Before you're disheveled and now, ooh, you're kempt. That's not a malach hasiluk. That's not a malach hasiluk. Rashi, who writes the problem of malach shenet zirich legufa, is it's not a constructive malacha. Yeah, that's true. When all you're doing is maintaining, you're conserving, you're preventing, but you're not improving. That is a malach hasiluk. But if something inherently is considered to be a tikkun, a tikkun aguf, a tikkun achefza, that's a malach tzrich lagufa. That's a malach tzrich lagufa. So guess what? Cutting nails is a malach tzrich lagufa. That's a malach tikkun. Cutting hair is a malach tikkun. That's malach. And ena chinami, that's exactly the Gemara Daf Tzadi Daled. If you cut your nails with a kli, divrei hakol chayiv. You're chayiv according to everyone. That's not machlokes Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, because cutting nails is considered to be a malach tikkun. And if it's a malach tikkun, then Rashi says that's called a malach tzrich lagufa. Wow, that's pretty heavy. No, so that's a very fundamental machlokes Rashi and Tosos. Cutting nails on Shabbos, cutting your hair on Shabbos, is that a malach tzrich lagufa? Or is that a malach shenet zrich lagufa? According to Tosus and Nisadrama and Pasar Rabbi Shimon, according to Rashi, it's Nisadaisa. It's Nisadaisa. That's called a malach tikkun. It's not a malach siluk. Of course, you're removing the old. That's true. But ayyadezeh, it's a malach tikkun. It's a malach tikkun. And for that, you're considered to be chayim. And that's exactly Rashi Shita against the Shita of Tosus that calls this a malach shenet zrich lagufa. Wow. Who makes this distinction? That if it's a malach tikkun, then it's a malach tzrich lagufa. That's the Ramban. Chiddush Ramban, Shabbos Daf Kufa. If something is a malach tikkun, that is called a malach tzrich lagufa. That's not what Rashi meant as a malach siluk, or something somehow is lacking. Somehow is lacking. And the Rabban writes the following. For example, Mila. Vadai malach tzrich lagufa. You're going to say bris milah samalach shem tzrich lagufa? Because you're removing that which is undesirable. An orla. You're removing that which is undesirable. So really, it's a malach shem tzrich lagufa. And bris milah doesn't involve chilul Shabbos. Obviously not. No? Bris milah is a malach daraisa. And it's only mutter if it's a milah bezmana, because there's an override, as we learned. No? A pasuk that milah bezmana is doche, and if it's a milah shalom bezmana, it's not doche Shabbos. What do you mean? Why not say it's a malach shem tzrich lagufa? Because all you're doing is removing that which is undesirable? Oh, the answer is, what do you mean? The Ramban writes, of course that's malach tikkun. Shei adam zemohu. Adam zemohu. And you ready for this line, the Ramban? V'hadoma lezeh. I'll give you another example. Guess what? Hanotel tziparnot. Cutting your nails. That's that Ramban. That's a malach tzrich lagufa. It's a malach tikkun. And v'chein svamo. Cutting your hair. No? That's a malach shenet zrich lagufa. Of course you're considered to be chayiv. That is a malach tzrich lagufa. And all of that is chayiv. Mishum gozeis. Wow. All that is that's pretty heavy. That's pretty unbelievable. No? So it was worth coming, even though it's a Sunday, just to hear that. No? But what does it have to do with anything? No? the Balamor. The Balamor, and then the next line in this room. Balamor works with Rashi's definition of Olacha Shinetz Rechudu. The Balamor and Daf Hamazan base and Daf. You know what? Amalach Shinetz Rechudu is Amalach Hesiluk. Removing that which is undesirable. And you ready? The Balamor is bothered by the Balamor. If that really is true, and that's the Balamor's Hagdara, how in the world can there be a malacha of, how can there be a malacha of Borer? Isn't that what Borer is? Isn't that what Borer is? I ask you, what is Borer? Borer, removal of that which is undesirable. How can you define a malacha shinu tzrichel gufa of kichasal haner, or tzal sameis, removal of that which is undesirable? Isn't that exactly what Borer is? Wow. That's a heavy Balamor. No? So you know what the Balamor answers? You're right. You know what the Balamor writes? Pretty unbelievable. That Borer, Zore are exceptions to the Ptura of Malach Shinetz Rechel Gufa. Even though Rabbi Shimon assumes there's a Ptura of Malach Shinetz, that's good when it comes to all the other Malachos. But not when it comes to any form of Borer, because that's what Borer is by definition. When you have a malacha, which by definition is a malacha's tikkun, and you do it in a way where it's not really malacha's tikkun, that's a ptura of malacha and tzrich legufa. But when you do a malacha which the nature of the malacha, the essence of the malacha, the definition of the malacha is removal of that which is undesirable, well, of course for that you're chayav. Borer is a yotzei min haklal of the Ptura of Malach Shinetz Rechel Gufa. That's stunning, no? That's the Balamor. That's working with Rashi's Hagdara. That, according to Tosfos, that would not be true. According to Tosfos, very simply, just do that which was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they remove that which is undesirable. So therefore, removal of that which is undesirable. It's going to Malach Shinetz Rechel Gufa. No? In order to label some, you have to say, they did it in the Mishkan for this, and I'm doing it for that. No, in the Mishkan, they removed that which is undesirable because it was undesirable. So therefore, that's Borer. No, but if Rashi writes, that's called a Malach HaSiluk, and it's not called a Malach HaStiklun, how in the world do you understand the Malach HaBorer? Also, the Balamor writes, realize that's an exception. You're going to have exceptions on both ends. Both ends. We just discussed 5 minutes ago. Now, that Tosfos and Gemara base, what did Tosfos say? Even though Rabbi Yehuda says a malacha, shinu tzrich luk v'schayiv, but if you do kotzer and you don't need the davar niktzar, even Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree that you're not chayiv because that's not kotzer. Kotzer is harvesting, and if you don't need the davar niktzar, you're not going to be chayiv. No, that was Tosfos' exception. In other words, there are certain cases that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree. Wow, that you're butter. Now I'm thinking of Balamor, there's certain cases that even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you're chayiv. Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon argue about a lot of cases, but you know what? There are exceptions in both directions. Both directions. Oh, Tosos. If you're engaged in dash and you don't need the mashke, even Rabbi Yehuda's going to say, that's not called dash. We just discussed that, no? Kotzer, and you don't need the darinikta, that's not called kotzer. And now the Balamor. And if you remove that which is undesirable, even if you don't need it, but that's the definition of Borer. And Rabbi Shimon is going to say, for that you're chayiv. No? So you're ready for the next step? Oh, that Ramban. Ramban writes, Bris Mila is not a Malach Shinetz Rechel Gufa because it's a Malach HaStikun. And Gozes is not a Malach Shinetz Rechel Gufa because it's a Malach HaStikun. And then the Rabban writes the following. V'chein ha-zora v'ha-borer. V'chein ha-zora v'ha-borer. Oh, with this he's disagreeing with the Balamor. V'chein ha-zora v'ha-borer. Zora and borer should be a malacha shinu tzrich legufa because you're removing the psoles. You're removing the psoles. So you ready for this? Pretty unbelievable. Who says that's the definition of borer? Removal of psoles. Who says that that's a Shabara? You know what the definition of Bara is? tikkun ha'ochel. Tikkun ha'ochel. You have an abundance of ochel, and you have some debris. So guess what? A person goes and removes the debris. So I said, why are you doing this? What are you doing? The person has a fetish. He likes removing debris. You know the answer? I'm being mesakin the ochel. I'm being mesakin the ochel. Tikkun ha'ochel. Ooh, that's very heavy, no? That's mamish, the psicha to the sugya, you know? What is the definition of bore? Is bore removal of psalas, or is bore tikkun ha'ochel? That's pretty heavy, no? That's the chiddush of this Ramban, Daf Kuvav. Just like when it comes to bris milah, just like when it comes to gozes, definition of bore is tikkun ha'ochel, tikkun ha'ochel. That's something which is pretty incredible, pretty incredible. Wow. Is there any source to assume that this is really clear? That Borer is not just simply defined in terms of removal of psalas, rather tikkun ha'ochel? So I put in our makomus Yerushalmi, no? Zayin Beis on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. An incredible, incredible chiddush. You ready? That Yeshu Borer Tzoros Kol Hayom, the Eino Messiah. You can spend the whole day of Shabbos removing solas, and you don't violate this rabbi. I'm not saying that's a good way to spend your Shabbos. And Eino Chinami, we've learned, Beit Zadav, Yudbeis, Litlugu Bavanim. No. Handling all these stones is a real problem. No. Mukta, even Anyantif Nisra Botsa. Okay. But the Yerushalmi, it's not Borer. Yesh Borer Tzoros Kol Hayom Ve'Eino Mishayim. What exactly? A farmer goes out and harvests, and you have this huge tree, you have a huge mound. You know what? So you have thousands and thousands and thousands of kernels of grain, and you have 1,000 pieces of debris. So guess what? You, for whatever reason, you know, you remove a few hundred pieces of debris. You removed 500 of those stones. 500 of those stones. Wow, Yerushalmi writes, you're not chayim. How in the world are you not chayim? You know what the answer is? Because that removal did not result in tikkun ha'kri. If you remove all of the psalas, and now the kri is ra'ah lakach, and before it was not, that's bara. That's tikkun ha'ochel. But if you remove the psalas, but it doesn't result in tikkun ha'ochel, that's not the melacha bara. Wow. And therefore, I'll give you a case. Yerushalmi says, Yesh Borer Kol Hayom Ve'Eino Mishayev. Because Borer means removal of which results in the Tikkun Ochel, the Tikkun HaKri. In other words, you're not going to be Chayev. That's something which is stunning. Wow. It's like fascinating that you don't find the Rishonim that are quoting this Yerushalmi. That's an incredible Yerushalmi. Borer has to be absolute. Borer has to be complete. Borer is part of the processing that takes something that is not fit for use and makes it fit for use. Because the definition of borer is the tikkun ha'ochel. Well, in order to do that, you'll remove the psalas, that's true. But it's not removal of psalas per se. It's tikkun ha'ochel. Oh, that's in very well with the Ramban, with Rashi. And therefore it's a malach, hatzricha. Hatzricha gufa. Hatzricha gufa. The Ran doesn't cite the Yerushalmi, but there is a Ran, including the Amar Makomos, that seems to say the very same thing. There is a Mishnah in Shabbos, Kufram Gimel Beis, Chalos Tevash Shariska. You have a honeycomb, and you go ahead and you crush it, you squeeze it, in order to extract the honey. In order to extract the honey. So that sugya, that Mishnah, Kuf Mem Gimel Beis, and the Gemara, which is on Kuf Mem Hei, discusses the following. It discusses that risuk of chalos devash in the context of dosh, extraction. You're extracting A from B. Oh. And that's fascinating because, you know, when I go ahead and I squeeze a grape, I'm extracting a liquid from a solid. Here, oh, the Gemara says the following, Meikara Uchla Ula Sof Uchla. No? You're changing its state by extracting? You know, the honey is there. It's just within a comb. And you're taking it out of the comb. Is that really a change in state like shemen and azayis? Like juice and a grape? Oh, so the Ran, take a look, fascinating. The Ran, there, Kufman Heobes, Dramaskul Hassam, makes the following comment. The Gemara addresses it in terms of dash. But isn't there a Borer problem? Removing A from B? Removing A from B? Why isn't this a Borer problem? To take A out of B, out of B. Okay, maybe the answer could be, maybe it is, but you're taking the Ochel, and maybe you're doing so for immediate use, and you're doing so via. But the Gemara doesn't say any of those things, no? The Gemara just addresses it from a dash problem. Why isn't the Gemara just a Borer issue? And maybe the Gemara is going to answer, okay, you have to meet the conditions of Borer. Doesn't sound that way. It seems from the Gemara that it's not a Borer problem. If it is a Borer problem, the heter is limited. The Gemara should say that. Oh, so the Ran writes, Umishum Borer Leka, this is not a Borer problem. Why isn't it a Borer problem? Because you ready? Afilu Sochet Lubi Yadayim. Because even if, whoa, you're going to go ahead and do the best you can to extract all of the honey. Lo nafik dvash minei lagamra. You're not going to do it completely. It's not going to be a complete removal of. You're only going to be able to remove some of the dvash. Some will be removed, some will remain. Some will remain. Wow, that's a chiddush. And you're only going to be chayav for borer if it is lagamre, a thorough separation. And if it's only a partial separation, the Ran writes, so that you're not going to be chayiv. That's pretty heavy, no? That Ran, Toshub Shat, is based on Yerushalmi, of Yez Boro Koyim V'nem Yishayiv. But it is fascinating that we don't find that, you know, quoted in the Rishonim, the Siman Shin Yates, Rishonim is not cited. We'll have to see why. But this underlies a pretty heavy machlokas, no? What exactly is the Hagdara? What's the definition of Borin? Asara Sapsolis, Satikon Ochel. And I'll tell you a fascinating deal. Someone to ask you, what is the shear of Boreh? What is the shear of Boreh? You know what you're going to tell me? The shear of Boreh? That's Mefurish and Tosefta. That's Rashi and Shabbos Afayim Gimel. Not the Rambam. You know what the shear of Boreh is? A Kagrogris. A Kagrogris. That's the shear of Boreh. Let me ask you, have you asked you? A Kagrogris of what? A Kagrogris of what? Guess what? That's really unclear. No. What's the shear borer? A kagrogas. A kagrogas of what? A kagrogas of what? You know what? What's a typical act of borer? You know what? I start with a combination of Ofa and Psalis. Okay, good. And I, let's say, remove Psalis. And now I have the Ochel. So when I say, the shear is a kagrogas of what? A kagrogas of the initial combination of Ofa and Psalis? A kagrogris meaning I removed a kagrogris of psolis? A kagrogris meaning by removing the psolis, now I am left with a kagrogris of ochel? No, what? What exactly is the shear? How do you measure the shear of borer? How do you measure the shear of borer? Wow, that's pretty unclear. One can think of many, many possibilities. Maybe it depends on what I'm doing. If I'm removing the psolis, it's a kagrogas of psolis. Let's assume I'm removing the ochel. But I'm removing the ochel, the clean. But I'm removing the ochel, not the altar, the achar zman. The malach is remove of ochel. Oh, maybe they need a kagrogas of ochel. Maybe it depends on why is it borer. Pretty unclear. The Menachas Chinuch just addresses this, you know, very, very briefly. The Menachas Chinuch is, you know, Mitzvah Lamed Beis, goes through all Malachi Shabbos. And the last paragraph in the Malach of Zorah, the Menachas Chinuch, like, just read, it's a Tzarechim. When I say the Shir of Borer is a Kagrogis, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? The Menachas Chinuch begins by saying, maybe it means the totality. When you start, the Taruvos is a Kagrogis. Wow. Even though I'm not removing a Kagrogis, or that which remains is not, but maybe the initial, the combination of Ochlam Solis. Menachas Chinuch writes, he doesn't think so. He thinks it's mistaber to assume the Shir of Kagrogis is in the Ochel. The Ochel that you are misakin by removing the psalmist. Well, and why does he say that? Because kagrogres usually is a shear of cheftah shel ochel. No? Maisa achila is a kazayis. Cheftah shel ochel is your kagrogres. So, you know, when you deal with the malachos that are like the sudur, the bas, the shear is a kagrogres. Kagrogres is a shear of rocks. I remove the rocks. I remove the pebbles. Kagrogris is a shear of pebbles. It's a shear of ochel. So if the shear indeed is a kagrogris, the Menachas Chinuch just writes that mistaber, it's reasonable to assume, but that's a fascinating Chiddush, that the shear is defined in terms of the ochel. The ochel. That's one possibility. If you look in the Tshuvas of Yeshua Yaakov, here it's found in the Simon Aborim. Shin Yates. The Yeshua Rakov assumes that Kagrogris is the starting point, the combination of Lochel and Psalas. And here, if you look in the Frankel Rambams, the Rambam is Boris Perches, no? Perches Aloch Yedale. From the back, they have a pirish of the Kadmon Mimitzrayim. You know, back from the back. Kadmon Mimitzrayim. See? That's about the Kamonim already, not Menachas Chinuch. No, he writes Mamash Sarachiyun. You go ahead and you remove the shmarim from the mashke. You remove the sediment. Is the shir kagrogres of the shmarim, of the sediment that you remove, or is it considered to be that of the ochel that remains? These are Mamash is a Sarachiyun. Not so simple. Like, even though I might think this is like the ABCs, what exactly is the shir? But you know what? I'm clear. You know what I would tell you? The starting point is this machlokes, Rashi, the Balamor, the Ramban. What's the definition? What's the definition of Borer? If one were to argue that Borer is considered to be Tikkun Ochel, I would tell you, look, Shomer Hilchos, but I would tell you kind of the Muskel Rishon. If the definition is the Tikkun Ochel, I would say very mistaken that the Shir is in the Tikkun Ochel. The ochel that you are perfecting as opposed to the psolas that you're removing. If the definition of malacha is removal of psolas, maybe one could argue, that's the muskarish of it, removing a kagrogris of psolas. Or maybe one could argue, no, that the taruvos is all. Okay. So that's a fascinating Yerushalmi. The yesh baruch serves kol hayom, the eno mishayi. So, why is it, all right, we found Iran, okay, Bikis, Naba. Why is it that this is not like, you know, why is it that this is not highlighted? Why is it you don't find this not in the Rishonim? No, realize this, the ABCs, the Rishonim, you need Tikkun Ochel, and therefore, if it doesn't reside in Tikkun, then it's not Borer Daraisa. Maybe Sreid Rabban, but not Borer Midaraisa. Why is this not so prominent? So you know what? When you have, I guess, Yerushalmi, and it's not so prominent, I guess the convenient terrace were to be, okay, that's Yerushalmi. But you know what? It's Mefurish against the Bavli. This is Machlokes. The Yerushalmi writes us, that's true. You don't find such a thing in Bavli. And maybe Hanami, this is a machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, and we do not assume like that Yerushalmi. We don't assume like Yerushalmi. Okay? I guess if we could figure that out, okay, that could explain why somehow it's like relegated to like a Shita, Shita Dechuyat, Asyachir. but it's not really, you know, is there any babbling? Oh, maybe I could just argue, look, you go for the sugya and daf ayin dalet and Shabbos, you go to the sugya and beis and daf yadalet, nowhere does the Gemara mention that it has to be absolute. You know, that omission is glaring. But is it more than that? Is it more than that? So here I want you to take a look. Now, take a look at the Eglital, in the very beginning of the Malach of Zoreh, and take a look in the Tshuvas Rabbi Kivenger, in Simencha. So before tomorrow's shiur, now take a look at the Rabbi Kivenger. Go through it very, very well. Rabbi Kivenger writes, it's against the Bavli. It's against the Bavli. This is Yerushalmi, of course it's Yerushalmi. But it's against the Bavli. It's against the Bavli. Which Bavli? Who Bavli? What is it against? What exactly is it against? So, Rabbi Kivenger writes, and the Gleital, the such a Chayadam. It's against. Separating A from B. What malach is that exactly? So, you know what's maybe somewhat surprising? In Gimel and Aleph, there's a malacha of Zoreh, there's a malacha of Boreh, there's a malacha of Merakeh. No? Zoreh Bor Merakeh. So you ready? The Gemara daf Ayin Gimel Beis. Hainu Zoreh, Hainu Boreh, Hainu Merakeh. Why in the world are these three malachos? Why are they three malachos? Why is Zoreh separate from Boreh? Zoreh and Boreh are all examples of separating Ochel Amsalas. Why in the world should these be independent malachos? Realize, a person goes on Shabbos, Zoreh Bor Merakeh is chayv three chatos. Why in the world? Why would he argue chiluk malachos? Hainu Zoreh, hainu Boreh, hainu Merakeh. After all, each one is separation of Ochel Amsalas. Oh, so the Gemara answers, Abai and Rava, Kol Milse Dehavi B'Mishkan. Since they were done separately in the Mishkan, Afogav Dika D'Damele, even though you're right, they're very similar. But since they were done independently in Mishkan, and the basis, Lamatas Malachos, is Mishkan, Choshivle. Therefore, wow, each one has an independent identity, an independent status. Even though I would have said this is all me'im malach achas. A person is Zoreh and a person is Noteya. No, it's all me'im malach achas. I would have said the same thing of Zoreh, Boreh, Merakeh. No. The kol milsev mishkan afo gavdik the dami lei choshev lei. Therefore, you're chayv separately. Wow. What exactly is the difference between like Zoreh as opposed to Boreh? You know, Rashi gives two sets of differences. There's Rashi and Shabbos on the Mishnah, the Fayin Gimel Melech, that's the Mishnah Lamed Es Melechos. There's Rashi and Shabbos on the Fayin Hema Beis. It emphasizes another difference. Rashi and Mishnah says, you know, they're done differently. Zoreh is use of the Ruach, winnowing. You cast it up, and the wind carries away the husk, and the grains fall. Boreh typically is biyad. I'll have to talk about that. Merakeh is benafa. It's a sifter. Rashi writes that a different apparatus is used for Zoreh. Rashi and Daf Ein Hemaveis writes the following. Zoreh is bekushin. There are different stages. You know, you do dash. You know what dash is? You crack the connection between the kernel and the husk. That's dash. You extract the kernel from the husk. That's dash. Next step is Zoreh. When you throw it up, and the husk carries off, and the kernels fall to the ground. You scoop it up. Now what do you have? You have kernels and sorrows. You have pebbles. So Rashi writes, Zoreh is the removal of the husk. Boreh is the separation of the sorrows. And Merakeh is the kemach. Now that's the fine sifting. There are different degrees of separation, different stages of separation. Stage 1 is Zoreh, stage 2 is Boreh, stage 3 is Merakeh. So Rashi is mafurish. Now, Pashup Shah. The difference between Zorah and Borah is the stage. Zorah is step one, Borah is step two. Okay. Oh, so the Gemara's bothered. Hainu Zorah and Borah. Now, they're different stages, but it's all forms of separation. So why in the world would you be chayiv twice? Oh, the Gemara says, no. Mishkan, Chashiva. Good. Oh, so Rabbi Kaveda writes the following. You ready? You engage in Zorah. Okay, so you know what? The husk is gone. The wind carried it away. Fell to the ground. I scoop it up. Imagine. Here, eat it. No? I scoop it up. Here it is. You winnow. You're Chaim Yishim Zorah. And now what? Tikkun. Now it's Roi L'Achila. It's Roi L'Achila. How in the world is it Roi L'Achila? How in the world can you be chayv for Zorah? You know, if Zorah would mean, you know, you go ahead and you remove the husk and now you can eat the grain, I'm okay, that's Zorah. That's not what Zorah is. Zorah is step one, winnowing. It falls to the ground. In no shape or form is it fit. It's probably worse off now than it was before. Before I had a little bit of husk, now it's full of junk, no? And you're already chayv for Zorah. Uh-oh. So what Rabbi Kaveh Garai said, you know what you see? That removal of psolus is the basis of chiyuv, even though it doesn't result in tikkun ocham. Even though it doesn't result in tikkun ocham, that's what you see from Zorah. That the stages of separation don't have to be complete. If this really was true, that you're only chayiv for separation that results in tikkun ochel, how in the world can you ever be chayiv for Zorah? Zorah is a raya muchachas, that is not true. Removal of psolus is the basis of chiyuv, even if it doesn't result in any shape or form of tikkun ochel. Okay, so mafurish and bavli. Against the Yerusha. Wait a second. No? So the Yerushalmi doesn't have the Malachah of Zorah? Yerushalmi has 38 Malachas, not 39 Malachas? The Bab is just making an observation, no? There's a Malachah of Zorah, there's a Malachah of Borah, but that's my focus. Rabbi Kaveh just points out, you see from Malachah of Zorah, it's obvious that you're going to be chayiv even though the separation did not result in Tikkun HaChefetzah. Well, if that's so obvious, so how can Yerushalmi say what Yerushalmi says? Ish Baruch Hu Mimischayim. I'll say, Zor Yochiyach, you're absolutely wrong. So you ready for this? It's like a bombshell. You ready? Mamish Yerushalmi right there. Lazayin Beis. Yerushalmi says something unusual. Rokek. Person goes there and spits on Shabbos. He spits on Shabbos. You ready? V'frichu haruach. And all of a sudden the wind comes and it scatters your phlegm. You spit, and all of a sudden, the wind scatters it. You ready? Chayu Yishum Zorah. That's a malacha d'araisa. That's Zorah. Oh, that's a chiddush, no? You take something and you scatter it. That's a malach of Zorah. Well, it's an amazing Shuvas Rabbi Kaveh Semecha. He says, Uv Dahavi. Rabbi Kaveh says, I was walking on Shabbos. And I'm walking in the chutzah, a chutzah mu'revis, and I see the person takes a bucket of water, Rabbi Kaveh writes, and just scatters it. No? Somebody up there, you know, like he took a bucket, he wanted to spill out the bucket of water. So he took a bucket of water and just thrusted it. Rabbi Kaveh says, oh, that's the Yerushalmi. If you're chasaruach, you're chayv, you're shumzareh. That's a malachadarisa. That's a melacha daraisa. Scattering. Well, I'll talk about that now.
What do you see according to Yerushalmi? You know what Zora is?
Zora is scattering. According to Yerushalmi, Zora has nothing at all to do with Borer. Nothing at all to do with Borer. We usually think that the Malach of Borer is separating Ochel and Psolas al Yedei HaRuach. No, it's nothing at all to do with separating Ochel from Psolas. Scattering. You don't need Shnei Minim. You have one min, a bucket of water, phlegm. No, you just press down that button on the aerosol can. Yerushalmi, that's Zorah. No? Scattering. It has nothing at all to do with Shnei Minim. And Zorah and Borer have no relationship to each other whatsoever.
Wow. That's Rabbi Kivager's. Ooh.
In other words, the Yerushalmi would never ask the Kasha, Dafayim Gimel, Hainu Zorah, Hainu Borer. Yerushalmi would never ask such a Kasha. Hainu Zorah, Hainu Borer. That's like saying, how can you chay for Kosev and Borer? What in the world have to do with each other? Borer is separating Ochel and Psolas, and Zorah is scattering. Why are you chayav twice? Of course you're chayav twice. When you see the Yerushalmi's definition of Zorah, that Zorah means scattering, he says nothing at all to do with separating. What was the raya that Borer does not require tikkun Ochel from Zorah? Because in Zohar you're chayav for separating Ochel and Psolas, even though there's no tikkun Ochel. You know what the answer is? That's the Bavli Yerushalmi. According to the Yerushalmi, no raya whatsoever. Zohar is scattering min echad. It's not a separation of Shnei Minim. If that really is true, there's no raya at all that you're chayav for separation if it's incomplete. That's the Yerushalmi Lashita say. That Yesh Baruch Kol Hayom Benim Yisrael. Wow. But if you're going to disagree with the definition of Zorah, and you're going to argue that Zorah is a form of separating Ochel and Psolas, then you know what? You're forced to assume that you're chayav for separation of Ochel and Psolas, even if it doesn't result in Tikkun Ochel. Oh, and that is Machlokas B'Avin Yerushalmi. That's Rabbi Kivager, no? Wow. That is exactly the machlokas. So either is Yerushalmi that Borer has to be complete, Rabbi Kivager writes, Sugya Didan Polig. That's against the Bavli. Which Bavli? Who Bavli? Because the Gemara asks, Hainu Zorah, Hainu Borer. And what? Yerushalmi doesn't have Zorah. Yerushalmi has a completely different definition of Zorah. And therefore, the Yerushalmi can't argue that separation has to be complete. But it's Mufurish and Bavli that that's not true. And that's why the Rishonim do not quote this Yerushalmi. Because it's Mufurish against Hayin Gimel, Hayinu Zorah, Hayinu Bar Hamarake. But that's the first two paragraphs of the Shtuvah Sarvi Kivega, the Lashitase. And therefore the Yerushalmi can argue, yes, that you need Tikkun Ochel. But at this point, Rabbi Kivega writes, the Bavli clearly does not require Tikkun Ochel. Vaharaya the Malacha of Zorah. Wow. That sounds so fundamental. What is Zorah? Is it separating Ayyidei HaRuach? Or is it scattering? No, Pizur. As opposed to separating Ochel and Psolas. That's an important Kiddush. No? So, okay, so for tomorrow, I'll finish tomorrow. I'll come, let's go through this. Shuvas Rabbi Kivager. At Simen Chav. One Kiddush after another. And Rabbi Kivager, how to... And this is going to be very, very important. Now, what is the definition? The definition of Borer. And then, what's the difference between Maisa Borer, meaning Borloser, as opposed to Maisa Achila? And then, Shabbos, Yantif, how exactly are we marked it? Okay, let's show it.